U.S.
You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Okay, my friends, welcome back to the show. It's Saturday night, June 17th, and I'm going to fill you in on a little secret. I am out of town right now on our annual family vacation, so if the quality of the live stream sounds a little differently than it did in the first hour, it's because I've been forced to call in on a cell phone due to my remote location, and what you heard in the first hour was taped in the studio. What we did this week is something we almost never do. We went into the studio early to tape the show. I think we've only done that a handful of times in the history of the program. We taped it and presented it as if it were being aired live. When we taped the show on Tuesday for tonight's live broadcast, we had intended to talk about the Southern Baptist Convention. In fact, we did. We had taped a second and a third hour, which you were going to hear, addressing what happened at this week's Southern Baptist Convention. However, at that time, what happened had not yet happened. In other words, they had had a first and a second vote on the now infamous alt-right resolution. Everything changed after that. After the third and then finally a fourth vote, well, you know what happened, and we're going to talk about that for the remainder of the show. I couldn't air those 2 hours because of the change of events. So now I'm calling in on my annual family vacation. We took a vacation for Father's Day and for my birthday, which is next week. So I'm taking time away from my family tonight so I can come and give you the updated information on the Southern Baptist Convention. So that's the full disclosure. I am here with you live tonight, as we always are. And I'm here to report that the Southern Baptist Convention, as it had existed from the 1840s through present time, is dead. It had been in a very bad state of affairs. It was certainly in decline. It had become increasingly Marxist and politically correct. The anti-Confederate flag resolution, I wondered, could it be possible that they would do anything to alienate their white Christian base any more than what they did last year? And sure enough, they found a way to do it. I was raised Southern Baptist. I spent my entire life in the Southern Baptist Church. I have nothing but wonderful memories growing up in the Southern Baptist tradition in the 80s and in the 90s and even well into the 2000s. My grandfather was a deacon. I taught Vacation Bible School in the Southern Baptist Church, and it was an incredible church. At least my small congregation was. I can't speak for the entire denomination, obviously, and I can't speak for every single church, but my experience was fantastic. I think different individuals can arrive at the same destination by taking drastically different routes. In other words, someone could be a non-believer or a pagan or an atheist or whatever they want to describe themselves as spiritually and still come to the same political conclusions that I have drawn. My experience was different. I grew up and still am, in spite of what happened at the convention this week, a Christian. I can't even, with a straight face, consider myself to be a proud Southern Baptist anymore. But that does not take away from the faith itself or from my experiences with my pastor and everything that happened on my journey. But at this point, the Southern Baptist Convention needs to either be taken back over or destroyed. Whichever one of those two options that can be done the most completely, it wouldn't matter to me either way. What has happened is a disgrace. It is a sin against their fathers. It is a sin against God. I wish they would just come clean and rename the convention the Neo-Marxist Globalist Convention, because that would get it a lot more closer to the fact. Well, if you don't know what I'm talking about, and it's hard to believe that anybody tuning into this show tonight would, the Southern Baptist Convention entertained a resolution condemning the alt-right and white supremacy, anti-Semitism, really all the buzzwords. This resolution, if you've read it online, reads as if it had been written by an entry-level intern for Hillary Clinton's campaign. And it was presented by a black identitarian pastor. And not just any black pastor, a black racial agitator. I did a little research so I could be very well prepared for tonight's broadcast. And so I looked into a lot of the backstory on this. The same black malcontent who presented the alt-right resolution at this week's Southern Baptist Convention in Phoenix, Arizona, also was the exact same man who presented last year's anti-Confederate flag resolution. Isn't that interesting? Well, how do you know, James, he's a radical race-baiting agitator? Couldn't he just be a black who disagrees with you? No, he couldn't, and I'll tell you why. Last year, this man by the name of Dwight McKissick, that's his name, he pastors, if you can call it that, an all-black church, or vastly majority black church in Texas, but it's affiliated with the Southern Baptist Convention. And last year, he said he was going to be voting for Hillary Clinton because the greatest pro-life issue of our age is the shooting of black males by police officers. So that's what you have, ladies and gentlemen. You have a Black Lives Matter supporting thug writing these heinous resolutions. He wrote both the alt-right and the Confederate flag resolution. He's the one who writes them, and of course the convention itself, the majority white convention, is far too cut to dare go against a sainted black malcontent. So, but before I get to the resolution and what happened this week, how in the hell could any man claiming to be a Christian say that the biggest pro-life issue we face is the shooting of black men by police officers? What is he talking about? The five black thugs, the five black career criminals, Michael Brown and that ilk, who were shot in self-defense? How do I know they were shot in self-defense? Well, none of those police officers ever got they were all acquitted. And again, we're talking about a handful of thugs. How many babies have been slaughtered in their mother's womb in America in the last few years? Not even going back to Roe versus Wade. But according to this guy, the greatest pro-life issue is the black thugs who got shot by police officers for breaking the law and resisting arrest and for attacking the officer. Well, this is the guy that's basically in charge of the Southern Baptist Convention. He and, of course, the Soros lackey, Russell Moore, who I do believe that there are a lot of people who probably believe in Christ who are in the Southern Baptist Convention that are just so thoroughly cucked and pathetic and weak and humiliating that they go along with it for fear of the R word. But it's not this black pastor, and it's not Russell Moore, who I truly believe is evil, and I truly believe, this is my opinion, that he is just a paid agent, really a statesman. That's what he called the alt-right. We'll fill you in on the rest right after.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free Vigor Score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Sunday will never be the same. Sunday will never be the same for this traditional Bible-believing Christian. I know there are some people out there who appreciate the contributions that Christianity has given to Western civilization, but they don't literally believe. I am someone who does believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in what the Bible tells us. And so it is heart-wrenching and heartbreaking to see my church fall, as so many other churches and institutions have fallen, into this morass of controlled opposition, cultural Marxism, really advancing the agenda of the forces of darkness. And with this alt-right resolution, let me give you the history of what happened this week on that. So this black malcontent that we covered in the last segment wrote this resolution and presented it to the Resolutions Committee. If you're not familiar with how the process works, the Southern Baptist Convention, which is the governing body that sets down the commandments to the affiliated churches in the body of the Southern Baptist entity. They meet once a year to do business, and that's the Southern Baptist Convention. And then people can present resolutions to the Resolutions Committee. The Resolution Committee reviews the submitted resolutions, and then they decide, they vote on which ones will be heard by the delegates. They call them messengers. And then the messengers vote on them on the floor, yay or nay, if the resolution Committee passes them. Well, this alt-right resolution failed in the Resolutions Committee to even reach the floor. The Resolutions Committee voted it down. They rejected it. They said, this isn't something that we want the body to hear, and they dismissed it. Well, of course, that wasn't good enough for the radical Black Malkin. He knew better than what the Resolutions Committee wanted to do, so he presented it on the floor. You can do that, but in order to do that, it takes a two-thirds majority vote to hear it. In other words, if the Resolutions Committee strikes down a resolution, a submitted resolution, your only alternative after that is to present it to the floor for a two-thirds majority approval. So he did that. It failed a second time. When he presented it, it did not get the two-thirds majority vote needed for a hearing and for an official vote to put it into the Southern Baptist, what would you call it, their ideology. Well, again, he wasn't going to abide by the will of the people there. So he started holding court with the press. I believe CNN interviewed him on the convention floor, talking about how important it is we decry racism and white supremacy. And so by that point, the paid Soros agents like Russell Moore and the cucked out, effeminate, effete, oh God, they're just so horrible looking, these Generation X millennial pastors. Again, if you can call them that, they started working into overdrive to really cause a hysteria amongst the other people in attendance there, saying, if we don't denounce white supremacy and anti-Semitism, then the church will die. And by this point, the media was already writing stories about how the Southern Baptist Convention refused to denounce white supremacy, and it's just all hell was breaking loose. So even in violation of their own rules, I think CNN referred to it as the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. He flexed and bent the rules. And what they tried to do was very late at night, I believe it was 10 p.m. and midnight, they tried to hogtie these delegates back into the hall to vote on it a third time. And so they did. And for a third time, the resolution failed. It failed in the Resolutions Committee. It failed when the Black pastor presented it to the floor. It failed a third time that night. Three times already this had been voted down. And you know what the president of the Southern Baptist Convention said? He said, we're going to stay here until we get this right. So it sounds like the EU, right? Where you just keep voting until you get the quote-unquote right vote. And by that point, it simmered for another day, and they voted on it for a fourth time on the last day of the convention. And by that time, God only knows what they did, what they were saying to people. But by that time, it passed. Listen to the final vote. There were approximately 5,000 messengers that voted on the resolution for the fourth time. It passed 4,999-1. There was one brave person there and the courage of his convictions not to go along with what was happening there. And so then it passed. And of course, it didn't get them any reprieve in the media. They were still lambasted for having rejected it the first three times. They were still called racist for the history of the Southern Baptist Church, which was, of course, founded over the issue of slavery. And they, even until the 1950s and 60s, the prominent leaders in the Southern Baptist Convention were using scripture to defend their position on segregation. So they won nothing, but of course the point wasn't to win anything. The point was, I believe, to further destroy the church. I think that's what some of those people had in mind. Other people are just cuffed out and infected with the same pathological altruism and cultural Marxism that so many people in the community are. And that's what I would say in defense of the faith is no one's more disgusted with the Southern Baptist Church than I am. But what we have to remember is that this infects all of society. I think the problem is societal. And it has infected all of our institutions. There's no charge you can lay against the church that you can't lay against any other institution. And certainly if what is a church except for a collection of people from the local community? If people are infected with this weakness, it doesn't go away when they cross the threshold of the church house. But nevertheless, that's not an excuse. I think perhaps unfairly we expected more from the church. But honestly, the church has always gone along and defended the prevailing thought of the time. You can go back to the Middle Ages. If a farmer's turnip, a serf's turnips were trampled by the king's men, or if his wife was taken by the king, or if his land was seized by the crown, well, that was God's will, and the church would defend it. The church always runs about 7 years behind mainstream society. And again, why is that? Is that an indictment against the faith? No, not really. It's just an indictment against humanity. And I think certainly once our people take control of the culture again, the churches will fall back in line. That's just the way it is. Very few people in this world have true convictions and have true courage. There are some on the left that are true believers. There are some on the right that are true believers. Very few people have the courage of their convictions to lead no matter what and to be inflexible no matter what. And you're listening to one of them right now. But most of the people are going to take the path of least resistance. And if that's selling out to the gospel of Jesus Christ to accept the gospel of cultural Marxism, then so be it. If that's what the head table's saying, I certainly don't want to vote against the majority. My God, somebody would call me a racist. But here's why I think this resolution was so hypocritical, I mean, to say the least. They don't care about racial identity politics. They're only condemning white racial identity politics. And the alt-right, I mean, I bet most of them couldn't even define it. Maybe some of them had heard of it. Most of them probably had not. And the ones that Googled it after the third vote, or they simmered on it for a day before the fourth vote, I'm sure they just read some of the crap that the Antichrist New York Times had written about maybe me or Richard Spencer or some of the other leaders in the alt-right or the alt-right in general. They said, well, I read that they're racist. Well, we're going to vote against that. Of course, racism is a concept that was invented by an atheist Jew.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. There's word that the Secret Service is relaxing its restrictions on marijuana use to broaden its appeal and its pool of recruits. The new approach to hiring is called the whole person concept. Now the service is taking into consideration the time between the last time the candidate used the drug and now. All candidates undergo polygraph testing, credit checks, vision checks. The agency believes the new approach to hiring will allow an increase of about 3,000 people to come forward. Civil rights activists in the country have fought for decades to tear down racial barriers, but increasingly within universities, minority students are demanding their own graduations. Organizers say the focus is on celebrating a shared experience as a group. As identity politics has worked itself out in universities, minority students have become hyper-focused on what divides them. Separate commencements appear to be amplifying racial differences. One person, Ward Connolly, president of the American Civil Rights Institute, said college is a place where people associate with each other for things other than skin color. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
For commentary and insights on a troubled world delivered to your inbox weekly, think Joel Skousen's weekly internet news analysis service. Subscribe today to this one-of-a-kind news source. WorldAffairsBrief.com. We the people do hereby request the immediate assistance of President Trump, Congress, media outlets, and freedom organizations to defend all innocent Americans. There is no liberty with innocence in prison. Please sign our petition, TheFreedomCoalition.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Ladies and gentlemen, talking about what happened at the Southern Baptist Convention. Am I still a Christian? Do I still believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Absolutely and unequivocally. Am I disgusted with the Southern Baptist? More than I can possibly articulate. More than I can possibly articulate. Am I a Christian? Yes. Are they? I question. I question any church that would pass a resolution that is a 100% mirror image reflection of the Barack Obama MSNBC worldview. I question anyone who would follow the lead of a Black Lives Matter supporting pastor, quote unquote, who says the shooting of unarmed blacks by cops is the biggest pro-life issue. I question anyone who could follow the lead of a cuck paid agent like Russell Moore, who wrote in Antichrist newspapers last year that Trump voters may be going to hell. He referred to Jesus as an illegal alien, advised people to attend homosexual weddings, took the part of Michael Brown instead of the officer who shot him in self-defense, essentially supports Black Lives Matter. Russell Moore wants to build mosques in the United States. He's attacked me, calling me a white supremacist. He's going to honor Martin Luther King next year on the 50th anniversary of his assassination. Now, Martin Luther King, a plagiarist, a degenerate, an adulterer, a liar, a fraud, a communist. And even if you could look past all of that, because certainly there have been great men in the past who were flawed personally. But Martin Luther King was not a great man. And he wasn't a Christian. He publicly denied the divinity of Christ, meaning he didn't believe that he was born of a virgin. He didn't believe that he was resurrected and washed away our sins. This is the man that the Southern Baptist Convention is going to be honoring next year. Under the stewardship of paid agent Russell Moore. He believes our Confederate fathers and the church founders are, I guess, in hell because they were racist, of course, don't you know, by the modern-day definition. But Martin Luther King is an exemplar. That's the Southern Baptist Church of today. So I understand why the Southern Baptist Convention is dying. For 10 consecutive years, their membership has fallen. In other words, for 10 consecutive years, there's been less members in the Southern Baptist Church than there were in the year before. Just last year, after the Confederate flag resolution passed, membership of the Southern Baptist Convention dropped 7%. I hope it drops to zero. If this is the best we're going to get from the Southern Baptist, I hope it dies. And it would be better for Christians if it would die. The church today, with its cucking on race and feminism and immigration, demands that the saving grace of Jesus Christ comes attached at the hip, with this suicide cult being advanced by feminized leaders like Russell Moore. Any reasonable person would reject such a religious practice out of hand, such a ridiculous practice, meaning that the very best people are going to be alienated from Christianity, which is, of course, the point. I understand why non-believers, people who aren't Christians in the alt-right, who didn't have the wonderful experiences with Christianity that I've had, meeting my wife at church, I owe so much of who I am and where I am in life to my Christian upbringing. But I understand why people who didn't have those experiences cannot but look at the church and gag. Just as the political establishment must be destroyed, so too must the Christian religious establishment. And so we wait the charismatic and forceful advocate of traditional Christianity who will drive these cucks from the pulpit. And to double down on that, and if this doesn't describe not just the Southern Baptists, but certainly all of Christendom, from the Pope and the Roman Catholic faith to the other branches of Protestantism, theologian A.W. Tozer once wrote that religion today is not transforming people, rather it is being transformed by the people. It is not raising the level of moral society, it is descending to society's own level and congratulating itself that it has scored a victory because society is smilingly accepting its surrender. And that is what's happening. The forces of Satan are laughing. They are ecstatic that the church is committing suicide because they crave acceptance from the world. Folks, I'm on vacation tonight. I'm taking time away from my family because I love you and I want to be here with you to help guide you through these moments and to give you my opinion. And I couldn't play what we had taped earlier because it was no longer relevant. I posted onto Twitter that I am a traditional Christian who loves my race and is proud of my Confederate ancestors and that the SBC is a disgrace. And here's the thing, again, what I was mentioning before the break. It's not that they oppose racial identity politics. No, as we mentioned before, at this very same convention where it was declared to be a sin for whites to embrace each other racially, the same exact convention makes it clear that it's not denouncing nationalism so much as it's denouncing white people. Because there were, after all, presenting at this convention with official events, the Asian Baptist, the Korean Baptist, the Filipino Baptist, the Hispanic Baptist, the African American Baptist. Well, if nationalism is a sin, then all of those groups should have been expelled. But no, it looks like it's okay for some members of the Southern Baptist Convention to recognize their race, but a sin when others do. A black pastor was elected to some position of leadership at this convention. And white and black messengers at this convention alike were ecstatic. I read all the comments on Twitter. It's so great that we have an African-American chairing the pastor's conference. Well, let me get this straight. It's satanic for whites to say that to cheer each other on. But when a black gets elected to something, then it's wonderful. Race exists. But for whites, it only exists if there's some guilt to be assigned or some inherited sin tax. But also by passing this resolution, the Southern Baptist Convention denounced every founding father in America, in American political history, and every Southern Baptist up until the 1980s. How pathetic. They're condemning God's natural order. We need strong Christian men in the mold of R.L. Dabney leading the denominations today instead of the apologetic weakling in place now. Who needs Marxist social justice warriors and Black Lives Matter terrorists when you have the Christian church doing their bidding? And another thing that I found interesting was there was no resolution denouncing Muslim terrorism at this week's Southern Baptist Convention, only denouncing so-called white supremacy. An undefined alt-right. What just caused more turmoil in the world? Coptic Christians are literally being beheaded in the Middle East because of Islamic extremism. Yet, the Southern Baptist Convention will spend more of their time focusing on the alt-right. The alt-right is the only movement physically resisting the degeneracy that has engulfed the West and the church, or people who at least have some overlapping interest with the alt-right. If Russell Moore and today's Southern Baptist Church had been in place of the great Christian kings like Charles Martel and John Sobieski, our faith and people would have been liquidated centuries ago. So again, do us a favor and separate yourselves from self-respecting Southerners. Don't use the word Southern in the Southern Baptist Convention. Just call yourself Marxist. Just call yourself Don't call yourself Southerner, and don't even call yourself Christian. I'll read part of this resolution. It raises my blood pressure to read such garbage. But we decry the alt-right white supremacy as antithetical to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And be it further resolved that we denounce and repudiate white supremacy and ethnic hatred as of the devil. But what about Black Lives Matter? Did you denounce them? Did you denounce by name radical Islamic extremism, No, you didn't, because that would have taken at least a modicum of courage. It takes no courage to do what the world is doing. It takes courage to stand and be honorable and be noble. What they should have said is, what they should have just said is, we'll pass a resolution condemning anything the Christ-hating media wants us to condemn. That would have been more honest and taken a lot less heat. We'll pass any resolution that the Christ-hating press wants us to. That's what they should have said. But the Southern Baptist Convention is essentially being run now by black malcontents and cucks literally on George Soros' payroll. Now, does that mean every Southern Baptist is along with this program? No. Most Southern Baptists don't even know what happens at the convention. I know. I grew up at the Southern Baptist Church. We never knew or even cared until I started hosting a political talk radio show. Never cared what went on at the convention. Well, it was never stuff this bad. I mean, they did pass the silly racism resolution in the mid-90s, but before that, it was a pretty good church. Take a break. I'll tell you more about it when we come back.
Let's hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, folks, again, I'm calling into the studio tonight on my once-a-year family vacation, taking time away from my family tonight to be with you. We have to be together in the good times and the bad, and this is a bad time right now with regard to what happened at the Southern Baptist Convention this week, and so we're in this together. I am calling in from a remote location, remote in more ways than one, not just that we're not in the studio, obviously, but remote because I'm at a place that doesn't even have an internet connection. So this is the best we can do, calling in over a cell phone. But it was absolutely necessary because if we had played what we had taped earlier this week, it would not have even made sense. So, and I don't like firing on the Southern Baptist because of, again, my upbringing. You have to. In battle, if your fortress falls, you have to take it back, or it has to be destroyed. You can't let the enemy just squat in it. And so that's what we're doing. We have to condemn this evil. And hopefully we can retake the institution. Hopefully we can reclaim the castle. But if we can't, it's better off destroyed than it is now. And traditional Christians, such as myself, especially traditional Christians in the South, we can hear this neo-Marxist bilge anywhere in the world the other 6 days of the week. We don't want to hear it on Sunday morning. We don't want to hear it on Sunday morning. We don't want to hear these make-believe sins of so-called racism, a term that didn't even exist until about 100 years ago. Certainly not addressed in the Bible. And, of course, what is the definition of racism? That opens up a whole other can of worms. But as I mentioned, at the same convention where the Southern Baptist officially condemned white group interests, they held the following meetings of every racial group under the sun, under their own banner. So it's not racial identity politics they oppose, it's white people. And this anti-alt-right resolution really shows why white Christians need the alt-right so much. If the church in America is ever going to be strong again, it will be Christians with alt-right sympathies that restore it. I did a podcast last night with Richard Spencer. It'll sound very similar to what you're hearing this evening. But Richard called me to do a podcast for altright.com on the Southern Baptist situation because he knew that I was raised and grew up in the Southern Baptist Church. And Richard and I had a very similar conversation, but you might want to check that out. It's a little different from this. Hunter Wallace was on it as well. And it was an interesting conversation. I guess Richard's going to post that here in a day or two. But this hysterical yearning by all institutions, including now the Christian church, to identify and punish so-called racists is the witch hunt of our time. But as I said, now it's worth repeating, when our people become strong again, so too will the church. And you don't even have to go back very far in the history of the church in the South to see as late as the 1960s, they were using scripture to defend very heartfelt and politically incorrect positions. But alt-right Christians hold the same exact beliefs that Christians for 2,000 years had held until the church got infested with Marxist cucks and paid change agents. We do live in the age of the apostate church. We've done nothing for which we should feel guilt or shame, and we will not apologize. We have not sinned against God. We have broken no commandments. We will not apologize to the world. We will not apologize to these people who have taken over our churches. But do the people who voted on this resolution, for whatever reason, whether they're being paid to do it, whether they're just cucked out, whether they're just scared but they really didn't want to vote on it, for whatever reason, for the people who did vote for it, the fourth time, of course, the first three times it failed, the fourth time, hey, we'll keep voting on it until we get what the New York Times wants us to get. But do those people really believe that they're better Christians than Robert E. Lee or Stonewall Jackson? Because I can assure them all that they are not. But according to the Southern Baptist Convention, every Christian who ever lived prior to 1965 was actually a Satanist. That's the word Russell Moore was using to define people in the alt-right, Satanist, coming from a man who accepts money from George Soros to push amnesty. The Southern Baptist Convention has condemned their members to hell unless they agree with Barack Obama and MSNBC. But thankfully, we'll be judged by the King of Kings and not apologetic weaklings. They are degrading their flock, calling them satanic for not going along with the Marxist agenda. A lot of Christians have messaged me this week. A lot of my followers on Twitter, a lot of listeners on this radio program, and have emailed me asking what they should do now. My advice is this: do not abandon the faith of our fathers. Christianity has been a net gain for the West and for European man over the centuries. I know we've mentioned this many times before, but it was the banner of the cross that united the tribes of Europe. And if it were not for Christianity, I think we would have all been gone had it not been for the cross that brought the people together to repel the Muslims. And what about those Christians? Those Christians would put a Muslim invader's head on a pike if that's what it took to protect and defend their faith and their home. Do you think these people would do that now in the church? Now, hell no, they wouldn't even fight. Not only would they not fight, they're welcoming them here. And they're building their mosque, the Southern Baptist Church, which really was the most conservative, quote-unquote, of the Protestant faiths in America. And now this is what you get. And if you look at the pictures of these people, they would be the first to just get mowed down if any unrest started in this country. They would be the first to just lay over and die, because that's the fight they have in them. They have no fight in them. They are not men. But it is interesting that the Southern Baptists would be the one who passed this resolution. Now, of course, the alt-right has never been condemned by any other faith. Now, I'm sure they would if they were asked to do it. Certainly they would. But to date, the Southern Baptists are the only ones to pass a resolution claiming that the people in the alt-right are Satanists. Why did they do that? Well, there's a couple of reasons, and we've covered them. But I think the reason they felt the need to put that through there, now, it was, of course, the Black Lives Matter supporting pastor and the Soros paid agent, Russell Moore, that were spearheading this. And after they did their scare tactics and voted three more times than their rules allow to get the vote they wanted, it still took the people to vote it through. And again, yes, they are infested with cuckery. They are infested with pathological altruism. But it was interesting that the Southern Baptists, I will tell you this, and I know what I'm talking about, folks, when it comes to the people who go to these churches, because I've gone there for over 30 years. They agree with us. Not on the Jewish question, I'll be honest with you. But if you talk to an elderly white Southern Baptist, and he's comfortable with you, comfortable enough to be honest, they agree with us on race 100%. That much I can tell you. And I will tell you this, as much as the Southern Baptists have humiliated themselves, the leadership, the people who go and vote at these conventions, the rank and file in the pews are still with us. Fertile ground is there. They are Christians, and they are race realists in the South. And a lot of them go to these churches. It's just like the GOP. There are plenty of good, truly conservative, and I mean that in the best sense of the word, not in a mocking or denigrating way. But there are truly some good people in the GOP, but of course the leadership is completely fraudulent and corrupt. Well, it's the same thing for the Southern Baptist Church. A lot of good people in the pews, but they have no power. And they probably are completely oblivious to what happened at the convention this week. But I do believe that pressure is building inside of these denominations. One day there will be an explosion. All was quiet on the political front until Donald Trump. Even though he's been a great disappointment, he did upend the establishment, or at least so it seemed. But alt-right and identitarians can be depicted as bigots and white supremacists in order to discredit them as much as possible. But there will one day be a great awakening in our society. We are going to win this thing. And when we do win this thing, the institutions will return, and that includes the church. As I said, it's an old cliche, you tell me what the world is talking about, and 7 years later, I'll tell you what the church will be talking about.
That's true enough. But the Bible nowhere condemns racism, even implicitly. Racism is a 20th century concept, and there's no eternal value in this resolution. There's no eternal value in passing a resolution on a political issue of the day. But the emasculation going on in these churches is totally, totally incredible. But they didn't grovel hard enough because, again, we're still seeing the news stories coming out, still calling them racist, and they're still hungry for that relevance. They want it from the world. They want to get it from the world. Barely anything even Christian left at the head table of these organizations. It's just all self-hating cucks and virtue signaling, anti-white liberation theology morons. The Pews, however, yes, I do believe it's different. And I've got a little more to say about this in the third hour before we shift to other topics, including the potential impeachment of Donald Trump and the shooting of Steve Scalise. But first, ladies and gentlemen, while I'm on vacation, I might as well get this word in.